Sometimes you go to take a vacation and you almost need to get home to get away from the vacation. Amen. You can go so much, spend too much money, get worried and stressed about things. But nevertheless, and every now and then, we just need some time to relax and to refresh and maybe just to kick back in the recliner a little bit and just maybe ease your mind, not stress about anything and not worry about this or worry about that. We understand we need to do that. And even they tell us physically, doctors will tell us that relaxing and refreshing is actually a very healthy thing for us to be a part of. But how many understands it's difficult to do at times? I wish there was an off switch sometimes, something you could do where all the issues or things that you stress about would just cease to be. But that is not the case in this world. We understand physically we need refreshing, but oh, I will tell you, brothers and sisters, if there's anything that is often contaminated or anything that is often being drugged through the mud, if you would, or going through a bad day, our spiritual man often goes neglected even more than our physical man if we are not careful. We often need to be restored. But I want you to notice something about this here this morning, and I just want you to kind of grasp this in your mind, if you would. We know that the very famous here, the David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, once again, that's elementary. We understand that. We quote it. We sing about it. We hear about it at the funerals. We preach this. We quote it. We read about it. But understand this. In reality, God can make you content in this world. He can bring you to a place of contentment where you don't have to worry about all that stuff that's going on. You don't have to let the fear of the things that are going on in this fallen world to grasp your spirit. He can refresh you and touch you in such a way that you can say, "I shall not want. I am satisfied. I am content. I absolutely need nothing else but God and God alone." So God can get us to that place when we let Him shepherd us. But that is the problem. A lot of people don't like to be shepherded in this life. They don't like the fact of somebody leading them and guiding them and teaching them. But that's exactly what we need in these last days. I like what it says. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." He maketh me. I have to make my son lay down for a nap. I do. We are experimenting this week with, he's in a crib. And so we took the front off the crib. It converts into a toddler bed. And on top of that, I took his passy and I cut the end of the passy off and I gave it to him, and he knows that it's broke, and I don't know if he's thrown it away. We can't find it. But I'm telling you right now, ever since he learned he can get out of that bed, it is amazing. We hear something rambling around there in the bedroom, and I open that door up and he's got his whole entire toy box emptied on that bed. I mean, cars you can't even name all the stuff he's got on that bed. I'm like, "Son, what are you doing?" So I would clean it off and find him doing it again. Finally, you have to get a little wooden stick and say, "Look, son, quit doing it now. Quit getting out that bed." I have to make him lie down. He's a good boy. He's good natured to where he doesn't argue with you. He did it a few times. But you ever had the Lord to kind of orchestrate in your life where you really needed a break that bad, almost to the place that He had to make you take a break? You'll run yourself in the ground if you let yourself. You'll go and go and go and worry and worry and worry and fret and fret and fret. And we could go on and on and on about all the things that you can do and do and do to hurt yourself. But what I'm trying to let you understand is this. God maketh me to lie down at times in life. He shows me that, Brother Derek, He says, "Derek, you can't do it alone. You don't have the ability. You don't have the stamina. You don't have the strength. You don't have that longevity in your personality. You'll ruin yourself." Sheep were known to do that. They would weary themselves in all these different ways. And God does not want you to be weary. He don't want you to be restless. He wants to touch you. He wants you to lie down, and He wants you to trust Him with everything in your life. Now, I like what it says, green pastures. I realize there's something to this more in the Bible, but I like green pastures personally. Ain't nothing like riding through the mountainside and seeing the green fields. It ain't nothing like on a wonderful spring day, and I hope the weather comes and stays spring for the rest of the year. Be fine with me. But I love, even at times, me and the kids right here walking, and once again, this is where the sermon came from, so I'm just sharing what happened. We're out here yesterday, I'm walking through this green grass out here, and I'm thinking to myself, man, it's such a beautiful day, and I'm looking down at the green grass, and my kids are out there running around, and I'm looking up to the heavens, and you see the blue skies, and you see the clouds, and I behold my children playing, and I begin to reflect on the goodness of God, and I'm sitting there, and I felt like I could just lay out there in the grass all day and to just enjoy that moment, but I didn't want to get all itchy and everything. You know what I mean? It sounds better than what it is sometimes. But I'm saying it's just a beautiful day. But oftentimes we need to lay down in the green pasture spiritually, look around and say, God, you are good to me. We get so wrapped up with all the stuff in life that we forget how good He is. I see my two healthy kids running around. I'm able to walk. I'm able to get out here and enjoy. I look around at the facilities that God has blessed this church with. Nice sanctuary. We have that gym and the education building. And I know these are blessings of the Lord, but if we're not careful, because we're familiar with this stuff, we take it for granted. And we forget there's even people that came here over the last weekend during the meeting, said, man, you don't realize how blessed your church is to have such good facilities. As some people, I meet pioneer churches, and they're not able to, and I know there's a pioneering spirit, and they don't mind working through it. But we can take all this for granted in God's goodness and find things to complain about instead of being grateful. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now notice this as well. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, again, we don't have no stream of water flowing through here out here, but I begin thinking about, man, that's just the way my mind works. I was out there yesterday. Be a pretty day to be in the mountains. You ever been hiking before? Anybody? And some of you maybe not have been hiking, but I kind of enjoy it. Until you get to where you're going and realize that it's the same distance back. several years ago, we were in the mountains, and I went hiking. It was during my brother's wedding, and me and my brothers and my father went hiking. And man, you see the streams, and you behold the waterfalls, and all of a sudden, your legs are hurting, and you say, man, where in the world are we going, and how much further? And somebody comes around the bend, and I'm saying, how much further we got to go? And they say, oh, you got a long ways to go. I said, man, we need to turn around right here. But nevertheless, when you focus on the pain, that's what it's like. But man, when you get to your destination, and you see the waterfall, and you see the streams flowing. I thought to myself here, I was looking at this, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Notice here this refreshing scenery. All of us would love a painting about this. It's just so beautiful. It's so surreal when we look at this. But this is what God wants us to understand. He wants us to relax and enjoy Him. You can try to work so hard for God and never enjoy a relationship with Him. You can wear yourself out ragged even working in ministry. But every now and then, just stop and enjoy the Lord. He wants you to enjoy Him. He wanted to have a relationship with you. Now, when we think of the divine scheme of things, it's actually mind-blowing, because we know that God created humanity. We know that. But we know that He didn't create humanity because He was some lonely person somewhere. I've actually heard it described that way. You know, God was somewhere one day and He's up there and He's lonely and says, man, I wish there were some humans around here. No. Matter of fact, and I don't want to bore you nor throw anything over your head, but I think it's very comprehensible. In the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, there's a word they use called perichoresis. Once again, it's kind of a unique word there, and I can't even say I can describe it the best. But what perichoresis means is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are three persons, and their relationship in the Godhead. We can't even comprehend what that is. We know they're three persons. We know that they're one. But we also understand this, that they have some sort of relationship one between another. And so the word perichoresis is actually an old word that actually means a dance. And that may not be the best way of describing that. But there's this movement within the Godhead. And what it talk about is that God in His fullness is kind of like an overflow of His goodness that creation came out of that. Not that it was accidental, but God in His goodness says, look, in His goodness, that's where good things have come from. That's where humanity has come from. All the good things, the creation, the heavens, the earth, and relationship, and marriage, and we got children, and we have church, and we have community, and we have food, and we have all the beautiful design of God, even the way that we are created, all of that was intended to be good. But we understand in the fall of things, a lot of things have been lost, and that which was good now is not often viewed as something that is good, but it's been corrupted. So how can we in a fallen world enjoy God or enjoy a relationship with Him? It's through His Son. But what I'm trying to say is this: God meant for things to be good, and He wants you to enjoy a good relationship with Him so that you can regain that perspective. So we must understand that He makes us to lie down. He leads us beside the still waters. And that's where it comes to this conclusion here in verse 3, when the psalmist says, He restoreth my soul. What restores my soul? The shepherd does. How does He do it? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So He restoreth my soul. He wants you to be refreshed here this morning. Then He goes on to say, He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. So notice here, the scenery changes now from being by green pastures and being by the still waters. Now you're going down the paths of righteousness. But in the process of going down the path of righteousness, how many knows life is more than green pastures and still waters? Oh, yes, it is. You may enjoy the green grass today. You may like the still waters today. But I'm telling you right now, there is a valley of the shadow of death that all of us are working towards. All right, folks, I'm not trying to be too negative here. But if you don't go by way of the rapture, you're going to die. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, you may die old and some may die young, but you're dying. All right? Your body right now, it is a fact. And we know that's why, and Lord, help me to be more spiritual in my physical aspects of taking care of this body. This body is deteriorating. It is not, if you don't work it out, if you don't keep it going, it'll stop going. Amen. You have to keep living. Why is that? Because we live in a decaying age and world. And even, I've said this 100 times. Yes, you are redeemed spiritually, but not physically. Yeah. You know you hurt. You know how life is. And I don't, look, health and unhealth and unhealthy and all these things. And, you know, I go to the doctor and I'm saying, doctor, just tell it to me straight. I finally found a doctor to call me fat. Finally found him. Little Indian guy. And I've been looking at other guys and say, yes, sir, you're all right, man. And he basically said, yeah, you got some fat. Thank you. He said, lose some weight. And he said, and they'll probably take care of that heartburn. I was like, thank you. Other doctors said, how much omeprazole do you want? And he's actually saying, look, you know what? Lose some weight. You probably feel better. I'm like, you're right, doc. Thank you. Tell it to me straight, doc. How many of God does care about your physical person? This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay, I hope you enjoy your lunch at the fast food restaurant afterwards. We love you. I'll probably enjoy pizza as well. But what I'm saying, we do have to be careful. We do have to take care of ourselves because we are living in a dying world and dying bodies, and God is able to heal and restore. But even though life gives you, God gives you times of refreshing, times of still waters and green pastures, yet you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But notice here what the psalmist has said. Notice here is something in him that rises up. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, yes, we live in a fallen world. Yes, it's not always green pastures in still waters. Yes, He restores my soul. Yes, He leads me into the paths of righteousness. But also, yes, there are valleys of the shadow of death. There are times in life something's going to go wrong. You may get a bad report from the doctor. You may have a bad week and a bad day and tragedies and uncertain circumstances that are going on. But I can also say yes to this, that He is with me, and His rod and His staff, they comfort me. If you don't settle that in your heart, as soon as you leave the green pastures and the still waters, all of a sudden you get discouraged because you start saying, I didn't know there was a valley of the shadow of death. The Bible tells us, and I'm telling you this morning, there is. But the shepherd is with me. thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let's move forward. I'm just walking through this, just looking at the verses. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Didn't y'all study this morning the book of Esther in Sunday school? I think it was Wednesday. I was out here talking to Brother Neff a little bit. We're talking about the lesson. And when I was looking at this verse here, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, my mind went to the book of Esther. And being that it's fresh on y'all's mind this morning, don't you love how God just worked and moved to the place that Haman ended up in such a bind that God prepared a table for Esther and the Jewish people right in the presence of their enemies? It's called poetic justice. The man that makes the snare for me to fall into ends up falling into his own snare. I one time reading through the book of Psalms, I guess I never noticed this until I was reading it one day, but there's time and time again that poetic justice is alluded to. The psalmist keeps saying, you know, they had this trap, but God, you did this. They meant this, but you did this. Look at Joseph. Look at his story. What they meant for evil, God meant for good. God is able to prepare a table right in the presence of mine enemies, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what his plans is. When the devil's a fight, and one preacher said, it means God's cooking and setting the table. Think about that. And the devil has to sit there and watch me and enjoy a meal when I trust in the Lord. Thou anointest my head with oil. There's some significance to that, but I want to move forward. I want to come to this little phrase right here. My cup runneth over. Now, I did a little reading about that in the past, and this is just off memory's sake. There's nothing up here in my notes. I was reading about a cup running over before, and it basically means abundance. How many believes God gives us enough and more than enough? And that one song says, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Amen. Kind of like the concept. But we understand that a cup running over means there's plenty. Now, I read this in a book years ago, and I haven't cited it in a long time, but I think it was a book called Traveling Light. And it talks about there was a certain king or a certain custom in a certain nation. That what happens was that when you're at these feasts and these festivals and these get-togethers, or if you were a guest in a certain home of this place, that as long as your cup stayed full, it meant the guests wanted you to, meant that the host wanted you to stay there. So they said it was kind of like an unspoken thing that when your cup was getting empty and the waiter quit coming by, get your jacket, sweetie. Time to get going. In this verse here, that writer made this application. And I thought it was beautiful, but he said, a cup running over is even signifying that there's plenty, yes. But in that custom, it would have meant, look, I want you to stay in my presence. I want you to be with me. I want you to fellowship. And I'm telling you, just like it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, he stands at the door and knocks. He wants to sup with us. He wants to fellowship with us. My cup runneth over. God wants me to be with him. And I know I preached this last year on God's two footmen, but surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Charles Spurgeon called this the two footmen. They're the ones taking care of the carriage, opening the door for you. They're right behind you, taking care of everything, making sure everything is good. I'm telling you right now, has anybody else experienced God's goodness and mercy? And even when you know, it's amazing sometimes in praise and worship, and even in times of thanksgiving and prayer, you get down and you begin to thank God, and you realize you come down to this one conclusion, because you can't name all the things, because God does things that you don't even know that he's doing. He's preventing things that you don't even know that he's prevented. There's things that could have happened to you that you didn't even know. The whole time you walk and you think it was a normal day, and there may have been a host of demons trying to get your mind that day, but God in His goodness was just warding them off. I mean, you know, everything could have went south that day, but God has moved and touched and prevented this. Or even if something did happen, it could have been worse. And you get down to pray about it. Things that you just simply get down and say, God, you know what? You're good. You are a good God. But you're not always a good person, and you should be. I hope you are. So God is good, but why do I need mercy? Because humanity doesn't always do good things. Now, this is not saying that you should go out and sin for the fun of it, or that you're some evil hypocrite. And all. I'm not saying that. But guess what? There's times you could have done it better, done it sooner, or prayed about it. Whatever it is, God's goodness, yes, but we also need God's mercy. They follow us all the days of my life, and that makes me feel good, because I've done told you where we're hidden. Lest God comes, we got a long time to live, or if God allows us to live into this in old age, it's good to look over your shoulder. No, goodness and mercy is there, and it's going to follow you. Now, I don't like being followed by just anybody, but I welcome good mercy to keep on following me. That's all right. Last phrase there. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, what I like about this, and I'm not going to be much longer, what I like about this is that in the Old Testament, the house of the Lord is often referring to the temple. But when he's talking about forever, he's referring to something that's futuristic. Okay, in the New Testament, basically, we're going to live forever with the Lord. I want to let you know, in the Old Testament, they didn't have a New Testament. And so what you read about a lot of times, that you know about the Christian hope and heaven and, you know, the many rooms or mansions, and we read about the resurrection, all those things, we're like, praise the Lord. And then you read the book of Revelation, the New Jerusalem, and ruling and reigning with Christ. I'm going to let you know right now, David didn't see all that. Matter of fact, read the Old Testament about the afterlife. They just got a lot of questions. All they knew was this. He was going to be there. God was going to be there, and they could be with him in his presence. Would that still be enough for you to go to heaven if it was just God? You know, you start touching that mansion a little bit, and people are like, hey, now, leave my mansion alone, Brother Derek. I'm going fishing with Jesus, and you ain't telling me otherwise. I'm going to tell you right now, more than getting caught up with the mansion, you better get caught up with the man Christ Jesus, because that's really what matters. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Stand to your feet if you would. My wife will go to the piano. I know this was simple, but it really just felt yesterday that God is wanting to give us a fresh perspective right here on these verses. And what God kept driving home to my spirit in a time of prayer yesterday walking around, I kept saying, Lord, you restore my soul. God, you restore my soul. God, there's times I'm so weary. And it's not even that I have much to be weary about. God, sometimes I'm so just confused. God, there's sometimes that we feel a certain way and we don't know why we feel that way. And I say, God, can you restore me? Can you restore me? And all of a sudden you can feel, and you can hear the whisper of that shepherd through the Holy Ghost. And he lets you know, yes, I am your good shepherd. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will bless you. I will do a mighty work in your life. Some years ago, I remember when I was evangelizing, I got down to pray in a sanctuary one morning. I just needed a touch. And it was one of those moments that you just didn't understand. I'm going to be honest with you, just confused. You ever get confused? Man, I was just confused, and I couldn't even tell you now. I look back, you know, God's been so good. I don't know what I was confused about. But I stressed on that thing about 2 days. I think it was several days. Trying to preach like that. Get down and pray, and you realize, oh my, why do we carry those burdens when we don't have to? When God's wanting to restore our soul, He did it for me then. He's done it for me time and time again. He did it for me yesterday. He'll do it for you today. and He'll continue to do it for you the rest of your life. Find you a place to pray this morning. Let God restore your soul if you need a touch. Let God